عمر كسهابا The voice of أهل السنة والجماعة
گھر سے دولا چلا لادلی کا کیا نظارہ ہے یہ زندگی کا گھر سے دولا چلا لادلی کا کیا نظارہ ہے یہ زندگی کا کتنے نازو
4 minutes after 11 South African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful, mashallah, cold Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg. Well, I think it's about time that the rain, inshallah, 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 should be coming at any moment, inshallah. If I have to tell you this, my wonderful, beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it's overcast. If you do go outside now, I wish I could just send a photo or a picture and show you how's outside. You'll think that, oh, Molana, you guys are going to get a bad, severe storm. But of course, we're making dua that inshallah it does rain, since it's raining in Maritzburg, in KZN. All other different areas. As somebody told me this morning, it's raining as well in Maputo, in Mozambique. So we're making dua, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent some beautiful rain here in Johannesburg. Ameen, ameen, ameen. How are you doing, my wonderful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmalin, Hafiz Yusuf Asmalin Company? How are you doing, all the listeners of Markaz Sahaba? We welcome our beloved engineer, none other than Brother Bondface, who's with us every Tuesdays and Wednesdays on the Bliss of Marriage, of course. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Any questions you have in mind, please do feel free. Our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad has just joined us in right now. We welcome him into the show, Ustad. Welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, there's a sister here from Roshni. She says that my kids refuse to do anything in the house, dear Honorable Mufti Sahab. They are 27 years old and 28 and still don't know how to wash dishes or cook. Can I get them married knowing this weakness in both of them? Anonymous mother from Roshni, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In cases like this, we need to look at one Quranic verse and one hadith of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we will receive the solution. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in Surah 66, verse number 6, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your children from the fire. So what we have done is, we did not share love with them, we bought the love. We gave them all the iPads, we gave them the iPhones, we gave them all these gadgets and so forth, computers and what have you, and the TV, and we gave them so much freedom, so much money. So they felt that we don't have to do all these things, or their pride and arrogance got better hold of them, and they feel that this is beyond them, that the maid is there, she will do everything. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif, kullu kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyya. Each one of you is a shepherd and you will be questioned regarding your flock. So if we use this as a case study, I'm speaking generally, obviously. So there are parents and they have children, daughters, and now they can't, never mind cooking and sewing and nothing and all that. They can't even wash dishes. So what they're going to do when they get married? So you and your husband, the parents, you must have a joint strategy. Both of you must reach consensus that, you know what, we made a big mess as far as parenting goes. So now we need to teach these daughters a big lesson. All these gadgets we gave them, take everything away. All these perks we are giving them, we take it away. And they must start learning all these things here. They must abide by your rules, not you abide by their rules. So that is the problem, that we spoil our children. They have become spoiled brats, if we speak properly and honestly. So now that instead of preparing them for marital life, we're going to make your problem somebody else's problem. So imagine tomorrow she gets married or he gets married and he can't be an asset to his wife. She can't be an asset to her husband, to her family. So obviously from day one, there'll be big problems. Then you will be the one to say the mother-in-law, that this mother-in-law is very bad and so forth. But you are the one who spoiled them so much. So if you want to really prepare them for matrimonial life and so forth, then from now, they have to be cruel, to be kind sometimes. So take away all these gadgets and everything, and inshallah, tell them that now you'll better learn, otherwise we're taking your cell phone, everything away. And as parents, there is no sin upon you, but you'll get thawab by doing those type of things.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see there's a very sad mom, Ustad, from Marlberg. And she says, dear Mufti Saab, we gave our daughter, she's only married for 2.5 weeks. She's a Taliba Ustad. So the mother wants to know that, dear Mufti Saab, we didn't know this is going to happen, but they're having so much of problems. Only 2 weeks in marriage. What is your view of the role of a husband, and what is your view of the role of a wife? My beloved husband is very, very disappointed and he's on depression because his daughter is the rose of his heart, Ustad.
Remember that I don't know what is the real problem, but we can assume and we can think about 3-4 options or 3-4 things. Number one is you and your husband, the parents, you need to ask yourself, your daughter is a Taliba, she studied there and there and where have you. And mashallah, then a proposal came. So you must ask yourself, innamal a'malu binniyat, the first hadith in Bukhari Sharif, the first hadith in Mishkat Sharif, the first hadith in Riyadu Salihin, that why did you give your daughter to this person, made him your jamai and son-in-law? Why? Was it because of jamal, because he's very handsome? Was it because of mal, because of wealth and so forth? Or because of hasab and so forth, you're taught that they are very famous family and so forth. So therefore you gave your daughter and so forth. So you need to ask yourself these questions there. So action and reaction, then you blame yourself, obviously. Number two is this, who is the person who brought the proposal? Obviously you say you are in Middleburg, so somebody in Middleburg or some other place, Witbank or wherever, Johannesburg, they told you, I bo haruche, he chokro bo saro ai. Okay, this boy is very good. Okay, this jamai is very good and so. So you need to ask that person, but you promised us all these type of things. Now what is happening and so forth. Third one is this, that now you gave your daughter, you gave all the blessings and so forth and so on. So now in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, this so seems to be such rows and ructions. So where is your daughter living? Is she living separately or is she living with the in-laws? Therefore, I always tell you, in this day and this age, because of people's attitude, people's way of living, they all want their independence, 90%, 80%. So it's best that from day one, when the proposal comes, you have to play open cards and say that, you know what, we will give our daughter, but she must have her independent house, a flat, whatever it is. So in that way, there'll be more love in it. is not that the olden times. Olden time, 3, 4, 5, 6 brothers with their wives, with their children, everybody could stay in one house. The hearts were pakka. The hearts were pakka and good and magnanimous. The houses were kacha. People shouldn't worry the house was not painted, was affording. But today everything, the house is tip-top condition, but the hearts have become kacha. The hearts have become very, very small. So therefore, so look at this. Why did you give that proposed child, your daughter, to that person? Second one, who was the go-between? Third one, where are they living? Fourth one, what are the main complaints? If it is petty complaints, then you must tell your daughter that, remember, she must hang in there, cry to Almighty Allah. But if there are serious complaints meaning Allah forbid, now you find out he's on drugs or alcohol, or you find out that he is gay, or you find, because to, I'm speaking generally, we have so many problems nowadays, that the person is gay, or you find out that this person has got other girlfriends and so forth. So these will be serious issues. So always our advice will be, more so in a case like this, was sulhu khair, that reconciliation is the best, and inshallah you should try and make jorna, not torna. You should try and make the home and not break the home. And dua is very, very effective, inshallah. In the darkness of the night, cry to Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, Allah Ta'ala, unite your daughter and your son-in-law, inshallah.
I see the mother says, I wouldn't say ameen to that dua, and Mufti Sahib, you are 100% right. This is the fourth week she's staying, she's back home, Ustad, and it was the father's idea. They say that the girl is a mehman, the boy is not a mehman, dear Mufti Sahib. Third day of the wedding, he hits, the mother says, he hits our daughter, the third day of his marriage, dear Mufti Sahib, and in 3 weeks, he hasn't touched my daughter. So what do we do, dear Mufti Sahib?
So we don't know why he hit the daughter and so forth. If you are mehman and your jamai is not mehman, so and now they're fighting because of that. It's not that she became mehman now, they knew she's mehman and so forth, and he knew that he's not mehman and so forth. So all this was, I'm sure, in front of them, and yet they proposed and so forth. And then the question comes, but why did he hit your daughter and so forth? And then to say, with due respect, mother, to say that he never touched your daughter and so forth. Be honest about this. Let's go to worst case scenario. Okay, the marriage breaks. Then he divorces her. And thereafter, she has to go into iddat and all that, 3 menses, 3 napakis and all that. And thereafter, she has a whole life ahead of her. Whether you're going to say or she's going to say that that man never touched her and so forth, meaning she's still a virgin, outside, who's going to believe that? So it's very difficult for a person to believe that. You must remember that. So therefore, you must remember that you'll have to ask yourself, but why did you give your daughter to this family? Do you do your homework? Did you do this, do that? Now you'll say 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, she's back home and so forth and so on. So remember, in a case like that, my advice will be, make istikhara and ask Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, what should you do? Read Allahumma khir li wakhtar li and see. And if you feel that, you know, you want to separate, then rather go for temporary separation, and then maybe you can reconcile. We don't give advice straight away of talaq and so forth, but you need to be also pragmatic and practical. Don't think that now people will just start believing that, you know, no, she's still untouched and all that. You as a mother will say that. Maybe she will say all these things here. But for people outside, it will be very difficult to accept it.
084-786-3132. Somebody says, you Ustad, from Johannesburg, if your spouse has children from a prior marriage, are you willing to provide financial support to them, or will it be 100% upon your spouse and the ex? Ustad,
remember that if you, ABC, the husband, the second husband, you married that lady and she was married to ABC previously, you are XYZ, so you must remember that it's no responsibility of yours, the new husband, the second husband, that he must provide even 1 cent for the children. It's not compulsory, it's not your children. You got nothing to do with them. Whatever you do for them, that eat the children. For the wife, you have to provide, obviously. But for the children, remember, whatever you are spending, it is ihsan, is babu tabarru. You're just doing them a favor and so forth. It's not binding, compulsory upon you. Even if your wife tells you, no, you must spend and that, it's not compulsory upon you. So all those expenses, that must be paid by their biological father and not by you. Whether it's food, whether it's medical, whether it's education, whatever it is. So the biological father has to pay for it, not you. You are the stepfather, so you don't have to pay anything for it. So you need to be very clear on these type of issues.
What if the ex doesn't provide support? What would you do, Stan?
So in a case like that, she, this lady, must take him to court. You must remember that in these type of issues, the court is very sympathetic, that you must remember that they will make him pay and so forth. And if he doesn't pay, then they can attach his car, his house, whatever, and so forth and so on. So we are very, very firm on this thing here. This business is among our Muslim community. People just make children, children, children. This wife, one or two children. Then second wife, 3-4 children. And then they just go a wall, absent without leave. Then they just dump the children and say, you sort your life out. So no, they must pay for them. Remember that the owner's responsibility is upon them, especially if the children are daughters. They must pay for the daughters till they get married. Remember that is their responsibility. If it is sons and now they reach the age of 15, 16, 17 and so forth, then they can say it's not our responsibility. But if it is minors, that they are 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, the sons, so still is their responsibility. And you must go to court, the maintenance court and so forth, and claim from them, not for yourself. You are married. You must claim for them, from him, for the children that are there. It's not your new husband, the stepfather's responsibility. It is the biological father's responsibility, Islamically.
I see a sister from Polokwane who starts saying that, please ask Mufti Saab, Umrah open for South Africans. Should we go? Oh, and should we go for the vaccine as well, Ustad?
Remember that today I'm looking at my calendar, is the 8th of September, and it is the 30th of Muharram 1443. So I need to address all these issues. So let me just take it step by step. My advice, in fact, I don't know, you sister, brother from Polokwane, if you are in my groups and so forth, you will see if I send out many things already in the morning. So this morning I sent out one, that Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib Hafidhullah of Majlis. So Mufti Ahmad Sadiq Desai is one of the most senior ulama in the English speaking world. In the world, he's one of the most senior ulama. He has written a book which I sent out, I think it's 14 or 18 pages or something, how in vaccines are being used to fool the Muslims. So all of you should be reading that book there. So we are very firm and very, very clear on this issue that vaccines are haram and not permissible. Now you tell me this Maulana, this Sheikh, this one. So that is not dalil in evidence in Islam. When you want to speak, we speak with evidence and proof. Not come with this one. That is not dalil and evidence in Islam. So that is first book you should be reading. Second book you should be reading, it ties up with your question, that now they say that you can go for Umrah from the 8th of September. That Saudi Arabia has opened the doors for UAE, Argentina, South Africa. I received from the agents and many people have sent it. So Alhamdulillah, we thank them for that. But now we need to look at the practicality. You go, you spend 20, 30, 40, 50,000 depending how many of you are going and so forth. You only allowed, the last one that came, the protocols, you only will be allowed one Umrah. That 3 hours you must perform your Umrah. After that you can't perform no Umrah. After that you can't make no Tawaf. Just go for Tawaf, you can't go. Salat, you can't go. You must have that app and then you make a request, and when they feel like, they will tell you yes, that you can go and so forth and so on. So is it really worth it that to go like that? I would say definitely not. So therefore therefore, we say we discourage people. That's the word I'm using. We will discourage people to go for Umrah as long as all these protocols and whatever else conditions and that remain. So, in all these conditions, from an Islamic perspective, is totally haram. Remember that. It's not permissible for them to impose this type of conditions on the Zaireen, on the Mu'tamireen, the people who are visiting, the people who got intention for Umrah and so forth. Like how in 2020, 2021, they did not allow foreigners to perform Hajj, people from outside the kingdom, no one was allowed to go. So that also all is haram and not permissible. So these are issues you must know. Then the second article I sent out of Hazrat Maulana Mufti Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib Hafidhullah of the Majlis is that is Hajj compulsory in the current climate, in the current situation and so forth. So Hazrat mentions there, and he's got valid points, you must remember, when they have imposed such stringent conditions and so forth. So Hazrat wrote the fatwa, Maulana of Majlis, Hazrat Maulana Desai Sahib. So he said that Hajj won't be compulsory upon you that you go, and if you got 50, 100,000 and so forth, Hajj is compulsory, then right in your world, when things change, somebody must perform Hajj Badal and must perform Hajj on your behalf after your death or after your in the future sometime if you yourself cannot go and so forth. So remember that what we're speaking about Umrah, even Hajj, you must remember we are saying in the current climate is not something that we will encourage people to go. Now you say, but Hajj is first. We know Hajj is first upon you, but the sin won't be upon you, the sin will be upon them. We must remember that nicely. Because you must remember, people who are running the government nowadays, they reject the hadith, they reject the khabari ahad, which in itself is kufr. It's disbelief. They are the people who are establishing cinemas and all that in Medina and so forth. So what is got to do with Islam, all these things here? So they have to proven that they are anti-Islam and anti-Muslim. So why they are allowing you? Because you must remember the hotels are empty. It's just for the money it is there. It's nothing to do with Islam and so forth. We need to be very clear on all these type of issues. Then also, that speaking about 8 September, then I told you, today is the 30th of Muharram. So tonight, remember, will be the 1st of Safar. And that will be 1443. So that Ijma, and that definitely tonight is Safar, inshallah, after sunset, after Maghrib. So we should be reading the dua, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Oh Almighty Allah, make this new month, this new lunar month, a month of khair and goodness, and wa Rushdin and righteousness. These words, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin, are mentioned in Abu Dawood. So we must remember that. And another issue we must, inshallah, let me just mention this. Tomorrow at this time here, between 11 and 12, Mohana Zahid Khan and myself, in the FIQH program, we have an interesting discussion, and that is our Islamic calendar. What is the meaning of each month? What is the virtues of each month? What are some of the events that took place during the month of Safar and so forth? So all that we will discuss. I just want to highlight one point. I remember when I was a young boy, I'm speaking about 5, 6, 8, 9 years old, then people used to say, Safar no may not bo kharab che, Safar no may not musibat no may not che. So people would say that the month of Safar is a month of disaster, calamities, bad luck, bad omen. Rahmatul lil alameen Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. He was, he is, he will always be the only Rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chapter number 21, verse number 107, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatul lil alameen. So Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, la swafara, la safara, there is no bad luck, there is nothing to do with suffering and calamities, disaster during this month of Safar. He, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to abolish and demolish all these pagan customs and traditions. So we are Muslims, it is an article of faith for us. Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. good, bad, happy, sad, everything comes from Almighty Allah. So we should not entertain this type of beliefs.
I see there's a question came in right now, Ustad. The brother says here, then why were we all taking the injection for the yellow card? Everyone had to take it, yes or no, Mufti Sahab. So stop discouraging people from going. If my sister doesn't end up going, the sin is upon you. You are part of that Ulama Isu, anonymous brother from Lanesia, Ustad.
So you must remember, brother, I told you, you need to go to a psychiatrist because you got everything upside down. You must remember that. Take the first point. You must remember this, that in the past, for the children, they had smallpox and they had this, and they had vaccines. So this what they are giving for COVID-19, Corona, is it a vaccine? Is it a vaccine? So you go ask the doctors who are honest, go ask the professors. You just send me a WhatsApp message, 071-888-1184. So you must remember that we will say it's not even a vaccine. So you must remember it's just a experimental injection they want to do. See the dalil, the evidence for it. So when you take the vaccine, you have to sign a document. You cannot sue the doctor. You cannot sue the hospital. You cannot sue one of these companies, Pfizer, Moderna, whatever the names are. So why all these things there? Because you got no common sense. You brother from Lens. Common sense is no more common. You must remember that. So why they put all these clauses? Because they themselves have so much to hide, you must remember. Take Israel. Israel is no friend of ours. We call it a rogue apartheid regime. Israel is one of those countries that has given 3 jabs to majority of their people, majority the Jews. And now, if you read the Haaretz newspaper, they are telling them they must prepare themselves for the 4th jab. So what is all this? I mean, you must be really a moron, you know. If you can't understand what is happening, you must remember that. They're going to give you slowly, 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 slowly. So after that, you can see how many people are falling ill, how many people are going dead, dying because of this. But the media, majority of them, majority of politicians, majority of the pharmaceutical companies are on board. It's a $1 billion industry. Trump, you can say whatever you want to, but many times he speaks the truth and is not very diplomatic about it. In his interview, well, now recently, when it was told to him that they have to give another jab to the Americans, he said, yes, it's just a money-making gimmick, words like that, I'm paraphrasing him. He said, another $10 billion will come their way. So remember that this is just a money-making thing, and people are collecting money and so forth. So why people are so reluctant and so forth? Go see France, go see Brazil, go see other countries. Majority of the people, they are now revolting, rebelling against all these things here. So in South Africa, yesterday I heard on the news, majority of the youth are very, very reluctant. They got more sense than you, brother. So you must remember that. So now your sister, you want to go for Umrah, don't want to go for Umrah, that's your business. If you ask me the question, I give you my fatwa, you must remember that. So based on Quran, based on Hadith, and not based on emotions and so forth. So you must remember, my point is this, that why go for Umrah when you can't make Nafil Tawaf? Why go for Umrah when you can't make a second Umrah? Why go for Umrah? Imagine I'm in Makkah, right? And now it is Jummah time, Friday. My wife can read Zohar Salat, and she'll read Zohar Salat in the hotel. It's not compulsory upon her to read Jummah. But for me, it's compulsory. But they say, no, you can't read. So who gives them the right to tell me I can't read Jummah Salat in the Haram? I'm asking you that. So why must we go? I'm asking you. Tell them, no, you are promoting haram, so we will not come till you change your rules. So we must remember, we're not here. So you must get it it in your thick skull, because you, I think your IQ is very low, you know. So you must remember that we are not here to curry favor with any person or with any organization, politician or government. We are here to promote the true Islam and defend the Islam, not to curry favor and close masjids or to go and change the laws and become friends of the court or to say that Shia is a Muslim. We say Shia is a pakka kufar. That is what you can't do. You must remember that.
Ustad, Bob from World Bank's asking, they say that Saudi Arabia has also announced a 3-year travel ban on its citizens if they visit any COVID-19 red list countries, including India. Is this true, Ustad, Bob from World Bank?
All these kind of things you must ask them there, because there the laws can change any time. You must remember that. Today you will get this communication, then after a few weeks or months you will get something else. So we can't comment on those type of things there. That is their laws, if they made that law and so forth. My cousins came, you must remember, from Saudi Arabia. And you must remember to South Africa. Their family is here. And when they had to return, they had to go 2 weeks quarantine. So they went to a country, South Africa. You can't be in quarantine because South Africa is red zone, they call it. So they went to Maputo, they went to Zanzibar or somewhere here and there and all that. And then only they could return. So they have this type of laws, but whether it's for 3 years or not, that only Allah knows. Whether now you have to go quarantine again or not, all that ask your travel agent or ask the embassy. We not some agency here and all that. I'm telling you the Islamic law. All this kind here are your logistical things. Ask your travel agent and they will inform you about these issues.
Ustad, sister wants to know, my husband works for 2 total opposition companies, Ustad. If either boss finds out, he could lose his job. So the sister says, should I, as his wife, keep this as a secret when asked by his employers, Ustad?
So you must remember, he's doing cloak and dagger business. So cloak and dagger business means that he's working for ABC, but he creates the impression that he's only working for them. But behind the doors, night time, evening time, afternoon time, weekend, whatever, then he's working for XYZ, and both of them are opposition. So now he's the one who can spill the secrets. They do this way, play one against the other, and then he takes the benefit and so forth. So obviously he's playing with fire, and anybody comes to know, they will fire him, because I'm sure these companies are not some small companies. They will have some contract, they will have some clauses and so forth and so on. So rather he be content. And why is he doing this? Be honest about this. Why is he doing it? It's just greed. You must remember, from here I'll collect 50,000, from there I'll collect another 50,000, 40,000 and so forth. So therefore he's doing this and so forth. But if they find out, maybe both companies will fire him, not only one. So my advice to him will be, he must be loyal to one company, and in that way there, Almighty Allah will make things easy for you.
So listen to this one here. A student of Deen is asking, saying that a wife is a keen listener of a scholar, and Mufti is upset about the scholar that he said a kufr statement. Can someone please explain how the statement that the masjid is one of the super spreaders is a kufr statement opposing any qatinas, which is sarihu dilala? I agree. It is disrespectful to the masjid, Ustad.
Almighty Allah says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَيُّذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. When you say that you mustn't go to the masjid because it's a super spreader of virus, so what are you doing? You're rejecting this Quranic verse. You're rejecting the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. So you're telling people they mustn't go to the masjid, but they can go any other place. So what's your problem with that? So you must remember, it's 100% kufr statement in this type of things there. And so many other issues, you must remember that these people have sold the deen left, right and center. You must remember these type of things here. So therefore we put them in the list of the soccer players. You must remember that our fatwa will always remain like that for such people, that to read salat behind them is not permissible.
Why
Well, it's exactly now 19 minutes to 12 o'clock. I see there's a sister who says that, brother, stop playing the blame game. Blame yourself and not Mufti AK. Leave Mufti AK alone if you take the vaccine. They now also have a COVID pill that you have to take after the jab. They're saying people must go for mixed wedding and not masjid. Anonymous sister, Albertan Ustad.
100%. See, alhamdulillah. And let me answer that Molvi who's asking about that. You must remember, if you know your du'as, that when you enter the masjid, what you say? Well, last night I had tafsir on this, in fact. Last night I had tafsir on it. One question came about then. So you must remember, Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, rabbi ighfirli dhunubi, allahumma aftahli abwaba rahmatik. When we enter the masjid, we read Bismillah, we send salawat, salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say, Ya Allah, forgive me my sins, and what we say? Allahumma مفتح لي أبواب رحمتك. Oh Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, open your doors of mercy for me. So open Musnad Ahmad, Mishkat, and so many hadith kitab you'll find, and Amalul Yomi wal Layla, and duas when entering masjid and so forth. Anyway, so the point I'm making here, now ABC person says that no, you must not enter the masjid. You make sajda, that virus will catch you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith, you must remember, alhamdulillah, we're making sajda every day in the masjid. Allah's mercy comes to us. But when you ask scholars for dollars, then the virus will catch you. So you must remember that. So you must remember that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّي وَوَسَاجِدٌ. A person comes nearest to the mercy of Allah when he's in sajda. فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى. Both the hadiths are in Muslim Sharif. That Allah Ta'ala will accept your dua in that posture, in that position, and so forth and so on. So remember, there are too many reasons we can give that you can't read salat behind these people. Yeah. So they're not the ulama. These are TV actors. You must remember this. That they sell the deen. Just look at their income and all that. So you, if you want, go, we will send it out to you. What income they're collecting for every show on TV, how much they get. So they must go to Hollywood and Bollywood and Robin Hood. They got nothing to do with Islam. They are sellouts. You must remember that.
Ustad, there's a student of Deen asking, can a date be set for my marriage for 5 years later till I complete my studies to start?
No, you can't do all these things. Yeah, in 5 years time, Nabi alayhi salam said, Tulul Amal. Tulul Amal means long, long hopes and that. You don't even know the next 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days we are alive in that. Now you're speaking of 5 years and all that. You want to study, so for you to study is not so important, rather you get married. Remember that. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Ma'ashara Shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. I'm asking you one question, and you must be honest, that you are saying that you the boy, you the girl, whatever, so you will tell that boy he must wait for 5 years. You will tell that girl she must wait 5 years. In that 5 years, what you will do? Every day, every second day, you're busy. You must remember with what? WhatsApping to one another or talking and so forth. It's not haram, all those things. Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Quran says, وَلَا مُتَّخِذِينَ أَخْدَان. وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَان. You must not go near fornication and adultery. You must not have boyfriend, girlfriend. This is like boyfriend, girlfriend business going on. So remember, Islam is very clear. All these things here are not permissible. In Islam, we must encourage our youth, our sons, our daughters to get married as soon as possible. Not so far, so far, so far. So far in Arabic means, we procrastinate, delay, and you will have so many fights in that 5 years that you, by the time that 5 years finish, you, instead of getting married, you'll be cursing one another. So therefore, all that is not even an option.
I see the sister says in Mayfair West, Ustad, dear Mufti Saab, my fiance works in the zoo where he feeds the lions. I am ready to marry him, but my parents refuse till he finds a safer job. He's been looking after these lions for 18 years. What is my way forward? Time is passing. I really love the guy, Ustad.
So you must remember, you see, all this love business. So in Islam, you must get married, then the love comes. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا so that you get sukoon. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً Then Allah will bring the love. Then Allah will bring the mercy. So that is how then marriage becomes a bed of roses. But the kuffar way, first you say, no, we love one another. And then they start dating, and then they start moving around. And then when they feel like they'll get married, and then 50%, 70%, it ends up in divorce. Because the foundation of it was haram already. So all this love talk, my brothers, my sister, remember, is the lions they tell one another. You know, they're in the zoo. So you must remember that. Not human being, not Muslim. So you must remember that. So my advice, not permissible. If your parents don't give permission, your father and them are not happy about it, so you can't get married. My advice to you, forget him, block him, everything, and make dua and get married where your parents are happy.
He says he's a lion man, Ustad.
Lion man, that's why you must remember the lion man, after he gets tired of you. I give you one story of a lion, lion that you don't know, my sister. That's why when I used to go, Lord, I used to always ask lot of questions. Now I no more go all this. We can't even go nowadays all these places anyway. So you must remember that. So if you go there to the in PE and here Kruger Park and so forth and so on. The last time I went there, there was one brother, he insisted, said, please, I must go. And I said, well, I'll go for 2 hours only. You understand? There I was in Komatipur or somewhere. So I went. We just entered. We saw 5 lions. I had the children with me. So I asked them, what's this lion's names? Not one of them knew. So I said, one is Fajr, one is Zohar, one is Asr, one is Maghrib, one is Isha. And they all just walked past us. It's just a matter of 15 minutes. All 5 lions came. People wait. I tell you 2 stories. Now you got me lion man story. Let me give you two, three stories. Story number one. You see the King of England. He came to South Africa. Go check it up. 1948 he came here. 47, 48. I think most probably 48. Now he never saw a real lion. You know. They see all Kali Kali Spaza lions. A real lion he never saw. Live, you know. So they got the best warden, the best guard, everything for him, everything, and guide and what have you. So all that, so they took him around. Came on in there, not one lion. He said, you know, I'm the king. I must see a lion and that. Now I'm going to change my timetable. The 2nd day, okay. So he went from this side, no lion. He got so upset. He told the authorities, I'm changing now, last day only. After that, I can't change. So make sure I see a lion. They went from morning till evening. Not one lion he saw. So what happened next day? The newspaper carried the eye article, the headline. The king of the jungle does not want to see the king of England.
Allah.
The king of the jungle does not want to see the king of England. Allah Ta'ala disgraced him. He never saw. We go in 1 hour, you see so many sometimes. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. One story. Second story, if you study about lions, lion, they sleep 21, 22 hours. Lion is king of the jungle. He sleeps. Then when he wakes up, he will yawn, this, that. Then when he's hungry, then he will see and look for movement. And then you see the speed he darts and he attacks his prey. That is something worth seeing. We saw that also. So you must remember that. So the lion sleeps for 20. So when you're supposed to be your hubby, he says, I'm the lion man. Maybe he'll become like Joe Biden, the sleepy Joe. You understood? So he will be sleeping 20 hours, missing all the salats or half the salats. So you must remember that. So when he says lion man, it means he's a sleepy guy. So you will sleep 3/4 the time. Not quarter, 3/4 the time. So that is also about about lion, you should know. Third one, I was in Heidelberg one day, and there's two people, they're lucky they both had beards and all that, but anyway, they passed away, Allah give. This was under apartheid. I used to come to visit my parents and what have you. So, you must remember, they told me that there's white school here. They've got too many questions. I said, yeah, come we go. So we went. So then I saw them all that in the African school. But they could speak English also. So then I spoke. They wanted to know about Hajj and all these things. Then we opened the floor Q&A. So the one youngster asked, Hukoma Jela Almal Barthman, why all of you are Barthman? Why you also got beard and your two colleagues, brothers got beard in there? So I told him, very good question. So I told him too, you can't tell them Quran, Hadith, they're not Muslims, you know, proper Afrikaners and this and all. So I told him, see, have you been to Kruger Park? If you go to Kruger Park, you see the lion. And you saw the beard of the lion. It's called Mane, M-A-N-E. The big beard it's got. I told him, if you just see that lion, what will happen to you? So he said, yeah. Dancer like a buy a bang boss. Get very frightened. So it puts rob, it puts fear on you. You see the lion. So when the Taliban, the Mujahideen, when they were fighting the Russians, they asked the Russians, how come you ran away and got such a big deal? You were defeated so badly. They said, when they used to come out and say in chorus, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, we were half finished. And then we used to see their big, big beards, then we were totally finished. So you must remember, Allah made the lion the king of the jungle because it's big, big beard and all these things here. So therefore, that if the true lion, who will be, see, Asadullah. So, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu an, the lion of Allah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, they were the people who were Khalid bin Walid. Tomorrow, South Africa, 1st of Safar. On the, write it down. On the 1st of Safar, in the 8th year of the Hijrah, this is the type of things we'll discuss tomorrow in our program with Mawazaid and myself between 11 and 12. On the 1st of Safar, 8th year of the Hijrah, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an embraced Islam. And then he became Saifullah. He became the sword of Allah. So that is what we need. Not the lion who sleeps 20, 21 hours and so forth. So then he asked, why are you all Barkman? So I told him the lion story. Then I gave him another story. I said, see, there's a couple they married, right? And then the wife, she gave birth. Another sharpshooter, like, you know. So she gave birth like that. And thereafter, now, the baby, 4 months, 6 months, whatever. Now, husband, clean shaven. Wife, obviously, she's clean. They got no beard and all that, the woman, obviously. So, the wife, the baby, he wants milk. So, slowly, slowly, he came by the father, you see, and this type of thing. So, that white guy, he shouted then, Nia, Ashanuch, Ashanuch, I got the answer now. So, even you confusing the babies also, that what is the identity? They can't make out who's the male and who's the female. So, the man has Subhana man zayyana rijal bil liha wa nisa bil zawaib. The hadith, Musnad Firdaus hadith. O Muslim man, when you keep your beard, then the malaika, they make tasbih and dua for you. Everlasting glory to Allah who beautified the man with the beard. And we must keep long, long beard. Remember that. Not the short, fancy type. Wa nisa bil zawaib. And the women who keep long, long hair. Not all this business cut here, here and there by the neck and shoulder. No, but let it grow. So then they make dua for you. So then they say, no, he understood now.
Listen to this one, Ustad, from Johannesburg. So tell me, who's better, Wifaq or Darul Iman? Remember how Allah exposed you when your sheikh told you to go on radio and apologize and you cried like a baby. How much we earning, you don't know even know. Bring proof. I'm an alim and I'm ready to challenge your answers. We're tired of listening to you, Ustad.
I told you all, we prepared to debate any time with you. So you must remember, come debate with me regarding your closing of the masjid. So you must remember that I'm prepared to debate with you. You joined the lesbian group and all that there, friends of the court. We prepared to debate. I told you on air, we prepared to debate with you regarding the Shia issue. So now if you're tired of me, for what you're hearing me now? So you must remember that. So you must remember this type of things here. So you must remember, I made mistake, so I apologize. Your people's arrogance is such, you all are following Hizbu Shaitan. You all commit haram, 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 and then you all justify it. That is Hizbu Shaitan. Nabi Adam alayhi salam made mistake, he apologize. Beg Allah, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana. So Allah elevated him. And you'll follow Hizbu Shaitan. You'll close the masjid, you'll took the Quran out from the masjid, and you'll say the Quran got virus. You'll stand not shoulder to shoulder, you'll stand like shaitans, far, far apart. So all that, how you justify all these things here? So you must remember that, because you are bootlickers. You love to lick the government. You love to lick the politicians. Remember that. Therefore, you'll attend kuffar funerals. Therefore, you'll go to church. All that is documented. We got it. Didn't you go to church? So you must remember, didn't you go for memorial service? Hang your heads in shame, man. So you must remember, unprecedented in human history. Never ever, from Nabi Adam alayhi salam's time, till Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, till today, that the ummah ulama go to court to close masjid. That was your so-called scholars for dollars. You must remember, I don't even call them scholars. That's why I put their name without any title. They scholars for dollars who have sold this deen. You must remember this completely. So remember, you are ready. Don't hide behind your wife's barada. You come here. Say, I don't want you to come here. You go by your radio. And these are the 3 points we will debate. You must tell me when you're ready. And then we will see when we break your huzu and everything else for you, brother.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. 084-786-3132. I see the sisters saying, yeah, give your name. Don't keep barking at Mufti Sahab. Leave him alone, Ustad. Ustad, I think maybe you should also speak about our beloved Darul Iman and Wifaqul Ulama, the good work they are doing, Ustad.
Alhamdulillah, anybody does good work. I told you 100 times. I didn't start Wifaqul Ulama or something, you must remember. Senior Ulama, that Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahab of Majlis, Mufti Hashim Bouda, they made Mashura, and they said, we need an organization. You must remember, there will be near times, we have to go to court. So after they made Mashura, they approached me. I said, I'm on board. And then after another Mashura, they said, no, you got media, all that, you must run it, make Mashura with us a little bit, and it's fine, we carry on, and so forth. So I said, Alhamdulillah. So that is what we're doing. So both times, you must remember, you all went to court as friends of the court, we defended. So who are the friends of Sharia? Who are the friends who are defending it? You all are selling the Sharia, friends of the court, following the lesbian people, following the governments and so forth. So imagine this type of things. And you call yourself ulama? Hang your heads in shame, man. So you must remember this type of things here. That is how Darul Iman came. So Wifaqul Ulama, you got the Darul Ulums there. They all are living. So the principals are there. You can ask them. They'll tell you all the activities. You want to join Markaz Sahaba? MashaAllah, we are transparent. You send your questions to us, 084-786-3130. The non-Muslims also know the number. You heard today what they said. They said, why only you all answer us? Allah. All these other stations, nobody answer us.
Brother Vervan was
Yeah, Vervian, yeah, he asked. I forgot his name. He said, why these other guys? So I wanted to tell him the real answer, but you know, I said, never mind. So I wanted to tell him that these guys, even the Muslim people's are questions they don't answer. You must remember, never mind non-Muslims. When Muslims ask them questions, they'll just censor it and put it one side. So you must remember that. Ask them on air that what you say about the Shias. Ask them on air why you close the mosque. Ask them on air why you join the women's group who's promoting lesbianism and gay brigade. Ask them, will they answer these questions? Ask them and see. So never mind non-Muslims, Muslim people's questions they won't answer. And you want to become a member of Darul Iman? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. 084-786-3130. So we got nothing to hide. Alhamdulillah. We all are sinners. We commit sins. We ask Allah for tawbah. We make tawbah. If we committed sins publicly, publicly, we will apologize publicly. If it is privately, we make tawbah privately. You all don't do anything. That you must remember. You justify, justify. Therefore, today, you all are the most disgraced people. Remember that. You know the disgrace. The people don't want to sponsor you. The people don't want to preach salat behind you. All this, we got the news. Lahum fi dunya khizyu walahum fil akhirati azabun azim. That is Quran. You can't go away from that. If you don't believe in that, you're out of the fold of Islam. For you, there's disgrace. And for you, there's a terrible punishment still waiting for you in the year after. So therefore, I told you all many times, apologize. We all make sins, commit sins. We all make mistakes. Apologize, and then we will also be reading salat behind you.
I see Mrs. Adrian's daughter says, we are what you and we like you, and we like your program. Mrs. Adrian's
So these are non-Muslims, so they will burn more and more. Kulmu tu biraytikum. Would your anger die also? Okay, we had enough now. So inshallah, the news at 12 o'clock, thereafter, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam's kingdom, and mashallah, Sheikh Mumtazul Haq of UK, who after the Zohar Azan, Surah Kahf, verses 32 to 34, 130 to 2, Surah Yunus, verses 67 to 70, 2 to 3, Madrasa on AIM, Maulana Zahid Khan, 3 to 3:30, repeat of Q&A. 3:30 to 4, Akhirat Se Ghaflat, Mufti Taqi Usmani, that will be in Urdu. That means that people are unmindful of the year after. 4 to 5, Mufti Yusuf Mangera, and that will be Ulumul Quran. And then 5 to 7 will be Mona Khalid Yaqub, inshallah. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of today's tafsir, inshallah, of Surah Kahf. 7:30 to 8, more Yunus Patel. 8 to 9, Medical File, our doctor, dentist, Shabir Hashim. And 9 to 10 inshallah will be Mohan Salman Kaji and Sheikh Shuaib. And 10 to 11 will be Mohan Ridwan Kaji. So inshallah tonight will be the first of Safar. Read the dua. Allahu Akbar. Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, make this month of Safar a month of Khair and goodness, wa Rushdin and righteousness. Allah Ta'ala accept us for His deen. Ameen. Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
I see a listener says, please tell Mufti Saab a Boboyan would have understood. Don't waste your time with them. Well, up next is the 12 o'clock news. We're going to love you and leave on this beautiful mashallah from myself and our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Allahumma hadina wa hadibina wa hadina sa jami'a. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.